Bristol, Vermont, and WXLJ, Whitehall, Glens Falls. It's 8 o'clock.
Good morning. This is Northern Light for Monday, April 8th. It's Eclipse Day. I'm Monica Sandreski.
And I'm Todd Moe.
Folks throughout the region are anticipating the total solar eclipse this afternoon. We caught up with them ahead of this once-in-a-lifetime event.
Everyone thinks people are going to panic, right? So do I buy more toilet paper or something? I mean, what are the rules? Is there a list?
Patty Shirley says her hometown of Louisville outside Messina is the best place on earth. And she sees her role in serving the community as restoring the old town hall.
This was used for a schoolhouse, court, jail, hospital. It was everything. It was Grange Hall. It was absolutely everything that you could ever need it for back then. They had horrible weather forecasted. Everybody moved into here. It was just, this is where the town was.
And we'll hear from an amateur astrophotographer in the Southern Adirondacks about his new exhibit on display in Chestertown.
Here I am, this little creature, two-legged thing, looking up at this vast, vast thing above my head. And just to contemplate the depths and the magical, you know, immensity of it all.
All that's coming up on Northern Light. Stick with us.
Broadcast of Northern Light here on North Country Public Radio is supported by listeners like you. Yes, it's the first morning of our spring fundraiser here at North Country Public Radio. Please donate to support Northern Light, regional news, everything you hear on North Country Public Radio. Our fundraiser is happening now. We need you to make a gift right now. Call us. 877-388-6277. Make your contribution online, ncpr.org/give. You've got a few hours to still get your name in the hat for our early bird prize drawing, a $1,000 Visa gift card. We also still have some exclusive Eclipse thank you gifts, our NCPR 2024 Eclipse sticker. $10 a month gets you our Eclipse 2024 t-shirt. Those are ways of saying thank you on this Eclipse Day, the first day of our spring fundraiser. Make your gift right now. You pick the dollar amount. Give online, ncpr.org/give, or call us, 877-388-6277. Thank you.
This is Northern Light. I'm Monica Sandreski.
And I'm Todd Moe. State officials say they've spent months planning for the influx of visitors due to this afternoon's solar eclipse. The path of totality will cross through the North Country and western New York. Jackie Bray is the state's Commissioner of Homeland Security and Emergency Services. She says the state's transportation department will dispatch help trucks to deal with any roadside emergencies.
We have 100 help trucks ready to go. Help trucks will be on state roads and the thruway, moving any disabled vehicles over and doing that quickly. They'll have fuel in case people run out of gas. They'll have water. They'll have things that can quickly fix a flat tire if we need that.
Bray also says a number of state law enforcement and other agencies will be ready to respond to various types of emergencies, whether on the land or on the water. There will also be state aircraft used to monitor traffic and other issues, along with a number of drones. The state expects around 1 million visitors to the state to take in this total solar eclipse. And our NCPR News interns, Skylar White and Aaron Stickney, caught up with residents around St. Lawrence County about what they're thinking of the big event. They started off by talking with Larry Burnham from Potsdam and Ellie Strip from Canton.
So, what are you doing for the eclipse?
We are manning the rescue squad and fire station in Canton.
And you said you don't really know what that's going to look like. Could you tell me a little bit about that?
Answer whatever calls that come along, whether they be car accidents. That's more what we're concerned about.
Does that make you nervous at all? Is there anything that you're anticipating being more difficult about the day of the eclipse?
traffic.
It could attack their, you know, capabilities. I mean, they're talking a million people in the North Country. It could tax anybody.
Will you guys be able to see the eclipse while you're on call?
Unless we're driving. Yes, we'll go out in the parking lot. Sure.
Yeah.
I'm Carrie Waymeyer. I plan on working a usual day as much as I can. I know that my business intends to close down for the totality, and I hope to go outside, be able to experience it, hopefully with my dog, and really be able to take in the natural wonders of up here in the North Country during this very rare experience.
My name is Mark Dion. On Monday, I'm going to Colton. There's a place called Stone Valley. It is a hiking trail, and hopefully when I do some research, there is a set of stairs that go to nowhere, and if the clearing is still there, I'm going to sit there and watch the eclipse come right through the trees.
My name's Melissa Scudder, and I live out in the country between Potsdam and Hopkinton. I think it's very exciting to be able to see an eclipse in its totality, and have a lot of friends and family coming up, and we have some farm fields, so we're going out into the middle. We'll have a great view as long as there's no clouds, which so far looks good. And we're just going to bring lawn chairs out and sit. We all have our glasses already, so we're very excited about it. And sharing it with my grandchildren, too, because this will be a neat experience for them to remember as adults.
This is Jason Hawkins. I live here in Canton.
Okay, yeah.
And, you know, I'm really busy, but I keep seeing the articles and people getting excited. It never occurred to me that the world would come to us to see our eclipse. I didn't think much of it for a couple of weeks. And then Caroline brought glasses home, and she says, I've got glasses for us so we can stare at the sun. I'm like, what? Okay, right, because you can't really look at it directly, except maybe when it eclipses that very moment when it's dark. It's just kind of odd. Yeah. But this is like once in a lifetime, maybe twice. Everyone thinks people are going to panic, right? So do I buy more toilet paper or something? I mean, what are the rules? Is there a list of things people are going to get upset about and things they're going to start buying? I have no idea. So I was in the grocery store today going, do I need to stock up on something? What are the rules?
That was Ellie Stripp, Larry Burnham, Carrie Waymeyer, Mark Dion, Melissa Scudder, and Jason Hawkins. And if you're looking for information about a place near you to view the eclipse or how eclipses work, head to our website, ncpr.org/eclipse.
You're listening to Northern Light right here on North Country Public Radio. It's 8 minutes past eight. Good morning. I'm Todd Moe.
And I'm Monica Sandreski. Coming up, big celestial events like the total solar eclipse can spark a newfound love for astronomy. We'll hear from one astrophotographer who caught the astronomy bug the first time he saw Saturn. That's coming up in just a few minutes here on Northern Light, which you find only here on North Country Public Radio. It's the first day of the spring fundraiser. Give in any amount to support the station and snag NCPR's exclusive eclipse sticker, or give at the $10 month level and select the limited edition NCPR 2024 I Survived the Eclipse t-shirt. It's midnight blue with a fun Eclipse 2024 graphic on the front and a top 10 eclipse memories list on the back. Todd and I are both wearing ours today, and get yours now with a donation at ncpr.org/give. And thank you so much for your support.
Daniel Kelly on the piano, Gretchen Kohler on fiddle, Midnight on the Water. Northern Light is supported by Adirondack Experience, the museum on Blue Mountain Lake, exploring people's connection to the Adirondacks with interactive exhibits and culturally rich collections, reopening May 24th, the adkx.org. And Apothecary Chocolates, making gourmet chocolates by hand from all-natural herbs, botanicals, and tree syrups, apothecarychocolates.com.
The state is launching its first ever mental health needs assessment of first responders. It will survey law enforcement, firefighters, EMTs, and 911 dispatchers. Governor Kathy Hochul said in a press release that the assessment will help to help the state provide first responders with, quote, the care and resources that they deserve. First responders often suffer disproportionately from stress, trauma, and mental health challenges related to their work.
After nearly an eight-month vacancy, Watertown has filled its city engineer position. Tom Campo has accepted the job at the busiest time of year for Watertown's engineering department. The Watertown Daily Times reports that Campo will be taking on a suite of projects. They include fixing a water leak in a 5-million-gallon reservoir, updating a city water treatment plant, and a number of new waterline projects funded by the American Rescue Plan Act money. Campo has 30 years of experience in engineering and previously worked for a private architectural firm and the Department of Transportation. There's no relation between him and the city's mayor, Sarah Campo Pierce.
Last week, the U.S. Department of Labor announced $50 million in grant funding to connect rural workers with quality jobs. The grants are available in three areas, including the Lower Mississippi Delta, the Appalachian Mountains, and the Northern Border Region, which includes the North Country. The grant program is called Workforce Opportunity for Rural Communities. Grants between $150,000 and $1.5 million are available for projects that provide career training and supportive services to help residents secure well-paid jobs and stable careers.
If you take a drive across the North Country, there's one thing you'll notice in almost every community: abandoned buildings. Once populous towns now have abandoned or neglected churches, community centers, and public spaces. In the small town of Louisville in St. Lawrence County, one couple is trying to change that. Anna Williams-Bergen has this North Country at Work story.
The Old Town Hall in Louisville is a big white building with peeling paint. The tall, arched windows have that ripply effect of really old glass. Going inside feels a little bit like stepping back in time.
It has some big echoes in here. Like I said, 17-foot ceilings. So, like I said, the stage, this was all put in the 40s.
That's Patty Shirley. She and her husband Bill are restoring the hall, which was built way back in 1900. Most of it is still intact. Hardwood floors, stamped tin tile walls, and ceilings.
But that's the original light oak wainscoting. The original floor, it's all the same. This is built 124 years ago, and it's still just as solid as day one.
The town of Louisville hasn't used the building since 1974. It was probably going to be demolished when the Shirleys bought it in 2021.
I couldn't see this building being torn down. It was too nice of a building. It just needed upkeep.
Louisville is a town of about 3,000 people just west of Messina. Patty Shirley has lived here on the same street as the town hall for 40 years. She says it's the best place on earth. But like lots of towns around here, it's been losing population and young residents for decades. Shirley sees restoring the town hall as her part in trying to keep Louisville vibrant, because for a long time, the town hall was the community.
This was used for a schoolhouse, court, jail, hospital. It was everything. It was Grange Hall. It was absolutely everything that you could ever need it for back then. They had horrible weather forecasted. Everybody moved into here. This is where the town was. You know, anybody and everybody that was in town came here.
Local doctor John O'Brien built the town hall and later sold it to the town for a dollar. When the Spanish flu ravaged Louisville in 1918, the town used the hall to treat patients.
People were just dying everywhere from this horrible epidemic. The upstairs was a hospital. The downstairs was a morgue. And there may be a visitor here still. Every once in a while, you'll feel the eyes on you.
Shirley says there are ghosts here now, but in its heyday, you can tell that this used to be a really happening place. Coat hooks line the walls, the floors are worn in from sports and dancing. Shirley's husband remembers playing basketball there as a Boy Scout. And like any community center, it has its graffiti carved into the bathroom door.
Look right here. Here's the graffiti. Val plus me. We don't know who wrote that. We have ideas, but this was definitely written in the early 70s, late 60s.
The Shirleys want to preserve the hall's old-timey feel with both the architecture and the decorations. They're collecting lots of period furniture at auctions and estate sales. One of their best finds is a mahogany piano built in 1815, which sits perched right on stage.
It needs to be tuned, but other than that, it's beautiful. So,
if you play it, like, how bad is it?
It's bad. It has a mahogany soundboard. Piano people will know what this means. There's no metal soundboard, and most of them have a big piece of metal that the strings bang on. This has mahogany. It's all wood.
Shirley says they're buying furniture and fixing things up one paycheck at a time. Their goal is to create an event space for people in town to use and bring life back to the historic building.
And we will have a dance here again. You know, it's going to be one of the first things we do is have a dance here, because a lot of the older people in town still remember coming here. You know, this was their fun time back in the 60s and early 70s. This was fun.
The Shirleys want the town hall to be part of Louisville for a long time to come.
The best part is I have a daughter who lives on the same road, and she fully is in agreement that this will be hers when we're gone, and it will keep on going.
For now, the Shirleys are still repainting tiles and getting things up and running. They say they hope that one day the town hall will be the center of their community again. For North Country Public Radio's North Country at Work project, I'm Anna Williams-Bergen in Louisville.
This story was suggested to us by a member of NCPR's Texting Club. If you have a North Country at Work story in mind, we want to hear from you. Just text the word NEXT, that's NEXT, to 315-978-6277. That's 315-978-6277.
Listening to Northern Lights right here on North Country Public Radio. I'm Todd Moe.
And I'm Monica Sandreski. Coming up in just a minute, we'll meet the astrophotographer whose work is currently on display at the Rupland Gallery at the Chestertown Public Library. Then stick around after the show for Bird Note coming up at 8:42. But first, Todd has a look at the weather for us.
Morning sun and blue sky here in the Canton area. The Weather Service has a mix of sun and clouds today. We'll keep our fingers crossed that we'll all be able to see the total eclipse this afternoon. The Weather Service says highs today, upper 50s near 60, light winds out of the south-southwest, lows near 40 overnight tonight. Tomorrow should be a nice day, mostly sunny, a high near 70, light winds out of the south-southeast. Then some scattered showers starting Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. April showers the Wednesday through Friday with highs upper 50s, low 60s. Right now in Canton, we have sunshine and sunshine, 40 degrees in Canton right now.
Today is the big day. The shadow of the total solar eclipse will sweep across almost all of the North Country this afternoon. The awe of big celestial events like this can ignite a refound wonder for the universe and people. For Bob Fisher of Olmstedville, it happened as a kid growing up in the small industrial town of Paterson, New Jersey. His uncle Lou was an avid amateur astronomer and invited him to peek through his homemade 6-inch reflector telescope.
And one thing which was really stunning and something that stands out in most people's minds and most people's impressions is a view of Saturn. It has this gorgeous multiple rings surrounding the planet. And if you look at it physically through an eyepiece of a telescope, it's going to be indelibly printed in your brain forever. I really feel that way. It's sort of like you are physically there with that planet looking at it, and it's there shining in such a gorgeous, brilliant state. I've been looking up ever since.
That sparked a decades-long journey with astrophotography, taking shots of the Milky Way and the comet Lulin. His photos are on display now at the Ruplin Gallery at the Chestertown Public Library. And he told me he took most of them right outside of his cabin.
In this town, it's Olmstedville. I don't know if you know where that is. It's basically, you know, right dead center, southern Adirondacks. And I feel really fortunate being here where I am because I can step up my door on a clear night, which, of course, is a rare event in the Adirondacks. But on a clear night, I can see the Milky Way really strikingly clearly and well outlined, you know, dark areas, light areas of the Milky Way. It's really quite wonderful. It's sort of breathtaking.
And you took photos of the Milky Way, included them in this exhibit.
Many. Yesterday, I set up about 30 pictures, thereabouts, photographs that I've taken during the last 30 years. I've been all over the country. I'm one of those obsessive astronomy people who just chases eclipses and chases events and chases wonderful astronomical things. And I technically what it's called that I do, it's called landscape astrophotography. And the whole idea of that is to get a beautiful foreground. It could be a lake, it could be a forest, it could be mountains, and that's in the foreground. And beyond that, you're shooting an aspect of the night sky. It could be the Milky Way, it could be an orientation of planets, and it's a large area view, not a telescopic view, but a wide view with a wide-angle lens. And that's what I've been exploring predominantly for the last few years.
Well, and so take me back to those very, very first times of starting to try out astrophotography.
First thing I took a photo of might have been clouds at dusk on ektachrome film. And then as it got darker, I took some star shots. I took another interesting kind of photograph, a few of them, which are really fascinating. And, you know, anybody can actually do it. It's called Star Trails, and that was one of the first things I did. You point the camera at the North Star, Polaris, and you open the shutter. You keep the shutter as open as far as long as you possibly can, and what you get is you get the stars travel circles around the pole star. So you get this beautiful effect of these lines of the stars and their different intensities, magnitudes, traveling around the pole star, and you get like these concentric circles around the star. It's quite a wonderful effect. That was one of the first pictures I took. That does not require any kind of fancy drive or any kind of mechanism, which I have now, but it's just a stationary tripod, open shutter, as long as possible to get the star trails.
How are the skills required for night photography different than daytime photography?
Well, first of all, it's dark. Hard to see at night, you know. So you have to have a means of setting up your tripod, etc., your camera, in the darkness. Second of all, it's frequently cold, particularly here in this region. And if it's like 10, 15 degrees, those can be some of the nights of the most exceptional viewing. But of course, the most challenging viewing, because here it is, 10 or 15 degrees, you're standing outside, stationary. You have to make sure that you're warm enough to be able to maneuver, you know, cold metal knobs on the telescope. And it's just trying to make sure that the image is not going to shake. Any shaking at all is going to destroy the photo. So you have to make sure everything is absolutely steady and still. And you have to do long exposures, you know, 5, 10, 15 minutes sometimes. Keep the shutter open of the camera. And it must be absolutely steady and still while you're doing it. So that's what I do occasionally. When it gets warmer, like now, it's a lot easier.
Can you tell me about a memorable night you've had doing landscape astrophotography, where you were, what you were taking a photo of, and why it sticks out to you?
Yeah, I could, actually. I've been working very hard on the constellation Orion, the winter constellation, which most people know. Orion is visible even in bright environments, suburban areas. It's quite a striking image. And in the past couple of years, I've been spending a lot of time getting Orion as proper position in my backyard, lucky me, to get it framed where I see the trees, I see the constellation, and I've been trying to image it along with Candace Major and the dog constellation with Sirius. Sirius is a very important star historically, mythologically. It's been a star which was a presence in Mesopotamia. It's been a very important star, you know, for humanity for thousands of years. And that's what I've been working with this past winter. I've been working with just getting the image of Orion and Sirius and Canis Major framed by the trees as best I can, and been working on this image. And I have a couple of the images in the library that I have some, I think, some reasonable success.
And that's there on your land in Olmstedville?
Yeah, it is. Like I said, I'm a lucky fellow. I can walk out my door on a clear night and see the Milky Way.
You know, when you're outside and taking a photograph, what's going through your mind?
Depends on the day. It depends how tired I am, and it depends how driven I am to take that photograph. But on ideal times, and I'm outside, and it's strikingly clear, and I can see the night sky, and it's all so beautiful, and I'm taking my picture, what goes through my mind is there's something magical about where we are on this little planet and looking up into that great beyond. And to me, it's very evocative. It has philosophical connotations, metaphorical connotations, mythological, you name it. It's just this concept. Here I am, this little creature, two-legged thing, looking up at this vast, vast thing above my head. And just to contemplate the depth and the magical, you know, immensity of it all, I think is quite a wonderful experience.
Bob Fisher lives and does photography in Olmstedville. His exhibit, 30 Years of Astrophotography, is on display throughout the month at the Rupland Gallery at the Chestertown Public Library. And you can see some of his photos right now at our website, ncpr.org. And whether you're visiting the North Country for the eclipse or you're here year-round, NCPR is your connection to this once-in-a-lifetime event, and also regional and world news and stories about the real people in our community. This is always NCPR, and you are always welcome. Support this community resource now. Give now online at ncpr.org/give or call 877-388-6277.
I wish you would get up with me at 6 a.m. and watch The Simpsons. Nothing better than a nighttime show in a daytime world. I wish you would stay up with me till 2 a.m. and watch The Today Show.
This is Plattsburgh's Ursa in the Major Key. They're playing for the city's eclipse viewing party this afternoon at the City Beach, and we're going out on their daytime-nighttime suite. Is it? That's it for the show for the day. Don't forget the special Eclipse soundtrack does continue this afternoon to enhance your viewing experience with the Dean's List with Doyle Dean and special guest host Radio Bob this afternoon between 3 and 5 right here on North Country Public Radio. I'm Monica Sandreski with Todd Moe. Be well.